Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 28th of November, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Make Your Choice, Q, White Hats, Arkansas, The Fed is Going Down, and then questions and answers. Before we get into this call, we do dedicate it to Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the oceans, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambeth. Callers will be asked to join us here after a short bit. We do ask that everybody keeps comments and or questions as short as possible to allow as many to participate as we can, of course. Also, I've got some mail from folks would ask us to please be mindful of language, only because we do have youngsters and senior citizens who listen in, and they just appreciate it if we can keep that down. Everybody knows that passions are running high, and certainly nobody's going to argue with that, because in this lame, lukewarm world that we live in, people admire passion, especially today. However, just for decorum purposes, we would ask that you, again, try to bridle it as much as possible. There are times when it's even called for, but we will try to keep it in mind as we go forward. Our website, where we have up-to-date information on current events, also archives of all the past programs going back clear to 1999, future scheduled events, and daily mail, and a lot of health tips. Health is going to be an extremely important thing going forward. Those of you who have followed my sister and what happened to her with her stroke, and other people that are in the family or friends of the family, a lot of health issues today, and we need to take care of that. We need to stop taking it for granted that the medical mafia is going to be able to fix us no matter what we do to ourselves. It's just not true, folks. It's just not true. Not only that, our Heavenly Father expects us, as the Word says, to maintain this temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you have to keep that in mind, all right? It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment by our Father, our Creator, okay? We're not here by accident. We're not here to do just whatever feels good to us. We're here as a created being. We owe responsibility. We owe reverence to our Father. That's why He's called Father. How would you feel if your children disrespected you? A lot of you are parents, just like I am. How would you feel like it? You created your children, didn't you? Now, we know Father Yahweh is responsible for us coming into this world ultimately, but didn't you and your wife or you and your husband have something to do with the children that are here? Okay, so in a way, you created them. Your efforts brought them into the world. Now, how would you feel if they showed no reverence to you whatsoever? They just did whatever felt good to them. They don't care about your rules of the house. They don't care about whether you like what they do. How would you feel about that? Yeah, you'd be upset. And you should be upset. So what makes you think we as children, because I don't care what age you are, you're still a child in the eyes of the Almighty, how do you think He feels when we completely ignore His admonitions to us through the written word and through the Holy Spirit to do His will on this earth? Think about that now. Okay, we got a couple verses some verses here, and then some highlights of things that have happened. It looks like yesterday and today is fairly big for the patriotic Christian community. So, but first here, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call on his name. I mean, in the regular Judeo-Zionist church, call on his name. I'll give you the answer. Zero. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call on his name, make what he has done known among the peoples. The church world today is all about feel good and worshiping a hippie called Jesus. That's what they're really all about. You know, this feel good, I just love everybody, Jesus that they worship. You know, he's a false god, of course. It's a false image. That's not what Christ was all about. Christ had a lot of testosterone in him. He was all male. He was strong. He represented the Father here on this earth. He didn't take any guff from anybody. He didn't compromise with anybody. And he certainly knew how to exhibit righteous indignation. Unlike the mainstream church today. Right? Mainstream church is pretty much the lukewarm, dead, soon to be vomited out of his mouth church. Doesn't stand for a damn thing. The good news is, I was watching Coach Dabemeyer, which I happen to like Coach Dabemeyer, Dave Dabemeyer. He is a regular contributor to News with Views. .com, that website. A lot of good articles by Coach Dave. He's up in the great state of Ohio, the Republic of Ohio. But he was even talking about the lukewarm church and why is America suffering under Satanism and criminality the way it is. And in large part, it's because the church is pretty much has been dehorned and absent from the game. Coach Dave, obviously being a coach, makes a lot of references to sports. I played sports all through my grade school, middle school, and high school, and a year of college. So a lot of sports and sports training, even in the United States Air Force. We had some flag football leagues and softball leagues, slow pitch and fast pitch. So lots and lots of sports. What sports teach you? Teamwork. Teamwork. And the fact that you have to have rules and you have to engage in the sport according to the rules. Everybody has to play according to the rules. So he has a unique way of presenting current events, but today's message on the Hagman Report was exceptional because it lined up perfectly with what we have been saying here on our programs for a long time, and with Mark Taylor, the retired fireman from Orlando who wrote the book The Trump Prophecies. He lately has also been coming out and lambasting the lukewarm, good-for-nothing, pew-setting, whitewashed sepulcher, mainstream churches that are good for nothing. And what does Scripture say about salt when it loses its savor? Of course, that it could also mean flavor, but savor. When the salt loses its potency, we'll call it that. What's it good for? The Scripture says it's good for nothing but to be thrown upon the ground and tread upon under the feet of man. What is America today? What is every white nation today if it isn't thrown on the ground and being tread upon by every form of Satanist, communist, demon, transgender, freak show populations of the world? How does the evil rise to the top unless the good, the righteous, just don't show up for the game, as the coach says? That's exactly what the problem is. Our people haven't showed up for the game. We've forfeited in the name of sports. People know what that means. If your team cannot field the right number of players, it's called a forfeit, meaning you automatically lose. And the so-called Christian churches and Christian people in America and all the other white nations, they've already forfeited this game with the Satanists because they didn't even show up. They didn't even show up for the game. As the coach says, they are safely in the cages. He was told that by an acquaintance who did time in prison, and he said the one way you stayed safe in prison is to stay safely in the cage, meaning you stay within your cage or your cell, and you don't bother coming out amongst the general population because it's unsafe. And that's pretty much what the so-called church world has done in America. They're staying safely behind the doors of the church. They're not getting involved. We're no longer a Christian nation. Dirtbag Alan Dershowitz, the Talmud-thumping professor at Harvard Law School, said it best years ago when all the Americans at that time, anyway, were making a big to-do over what Clinton had done, Bill Clinton, and he said, all this hoopla over Clinton is nothing more than the Christians trying to take America back. Thank you, dirtbag Alan Dershowitz, you Talmud-thumping piece of dog meat. You got that one right. Yep. It's nothing more than Christians thinking they still had a Christian land, raising a ruckus when the people pulling the strings and controlling things are the Talmud thumpers and their lapdogs amongst our own people, including, thanks to Mark Taylor and what he exposed, these so-called pusillanimous preachers, these poison behind the pulpit shucksters and shysters, when they have already sold their congregations out to elements of the U.S. government. The very people these clowns and these whitewashed sepulchers are trusting to teach them Yahweh's law. Irony, isn't it? Huh? Everything is upside down, just as we were told it would be at the end of the age. Now, I got a few highlights we're going to read here of some things that have been happening. The last 48 hours has been quite amazing. There's a lot going on. I have a feeling between now and the 5th of December is going to be even more revealed. But the former CIA chief turned Twitter troll, John Brennan, the Muslim, lashed out at President Trump Tuesday for defending himself against Mueller's unconstitutional witch hunt. John Brennan has publicly confessed to being a traitor. Publicly confessed. Now, you know, if you are in a courtroom setting and you expose your treason, there is no need for a trial. Did you know that? In a courtroom setting, if it comes out that you have, you publicly admit to your treason, there is no necessity for a trial. And some of these people under oath have admitted and confessed to treason, whether they know it or not, they have committed treason. John Brennan being one of them. John Brennan is an enemy of this nation. He is an enemy of its people. He is an enemy of Christ and all those who love the Christ, the anointed one. Okay? That's what Christos in the Greek means, anointed one. All right? We say his name is Jesus, but that is not the name he went by. That is a transliteration of the German for the Greek word Jesus. He was actually called Yahshua. And our closest English transliteration is Joshua. So he wasn't even called Jesus. We can't even get that right. Mary was actually called Miriam. You know, the father must really have a chuckle when he sees the pompous asses that walk around, like in the Catholic Church and the mainstream Protestant churches, etc. He must get a kick out of that, that they're walking around like such pompous asses, that they're so holy, and they haven't even told you the proper names of our Heavenly Father. And when he came to this earth in a flesh body, his mother, Miriam. We can't even get that right. They've adulterated everything. Now, here's the part that's kind of interesting. Even when we're presented with truths, and it is a truth that her name was Miriam, it is a truth that his name was Yahshua, or closely to Joshua. Okay? That's a truth. That's indisputable truth. And how many people will resist it? Oh, my God, Daniel. How can you say such a thing? I was raised in the Baptist church, and we call him Jesus. I've saved souls in the name of Jesus. You did, huh? Okay, you saved their soul, but did you tell them about the Jew and what they're up to? Well, no, Dan, I just told them about Jesus. Did you tell them about the medical mafia and the cancers and the poisons in the vaccines? And did you tell them about it? No, Dan, I wanted to get them saved. Why would I talk to them about such things as that? I want to save them. Do you hear the lunacy of this? I want them to go down to the front of the church and fall on the ground and flop around like a dying fish and think that's saving their soul. When the Greek words sotar have to do with saving from physical harm, here now. It has nothing to do with that feel-good, ethereal thing that the mainstream church teaches today. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. They walk around speaking in tongues and flopping around as if they're so spiritual. And we got ourselves 4 more souls saved today. They prayed the sinner's prayer and we came down and baptized them in the Holy Spirit. 4 more souls saved. Okay, well, what did you save? You didn't inform them about organic food. You didn't inform them about GMOs and hybrids and the damage to the human body. You didn't tell them anything about 5G and Wi-Fi signals and all the electromagnetic force and EMP pulses going through the air and what it's doing to our bodies. You didn't tell them a damn thing about that. You didn't tell them about the communist takeover of our own country, the treason within our government, all these things the book of Romans, etc., says that we're supposed to fight. You didn't do a damn thing to save them, son. They can go down front with you and flop around all night long and say the sinner's prayer 80 times, and you didn't do a damn thing for them. You didn't tell them the truth. You don't even know the truth. So how are you going to save anybody? You can't even save yourself. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. We think we're so righteous in this world. I read an article today that there are between 6 and 10,000 churches going under per year in the United States. And a lot of people might think that's bad, but from people from my point of view, that's hallelujah. They need to be shut down. There's not an ounce of truth in them. The pastors have already been shown to be traitors. So why keep the whitewashed sepulchers around? They don't do anything to stop the degradation of our country, the corruption in our governments, the outlandish behavior of some law enforcement people. They don't do a damn thing. What good are they? It's like the Father said, when the salt loses its savor. What's that trying to tell you in biblical language? It means when you as a body of believers have no impact on the society around you. That's what it's telling you. When you don't flavor the meat. If you had a canister of salt and you're going to have this big old beautiful piece of steak, but you want a little bit of salt on there. You like that little hint of saltiness in your steak. And you sprinkle this stuff on there, but you don't taste it. What would you do with that canister of salt? Yeah, you'd throw it out on the ground, would you? It's not good for anything. I don't taste the salt. What do you think Father Yahweh said he's going to do when he gets back? He's going to vomit you out of his mouth. That's how bad you taste. You don't even have the salty flavor anymore, and you're not good for anything. Why in the world would he keep you? Why would he keep any of us if that's our track record for Father? You haven't changed a thing. You haven't protected one innocent soul. You haven't put one guilty person behind bars. Why in the hell would he save you? Now, what when we go through this test, because our travel on this earth is a test, and it's for something he's got in mind for us on the other side, why do you think he would take you when you can't do anything on this side of the firmament? Why would he take you? Because you prayed the sinner's prayer, but you didn't do anything? What does it say about faith that shows no works? It's dead. It's like the salt that has no flavor. Faith without any sign of works is dead. As Coach Davemeyer would say, you're safely hidden in the cage called your church walls, but you are having no impact whatsoever on this world. None. None. You are without merit, and he finds that extremely offensive. Now, one of the things that's signaling us that something is coming down, and very, very soon, was the fact that the president himself put out a meme on his Twitter. And the headline here says, liberal heads explode. President Trump retweets an image of top Democrats, including Obama, Hillary, Eric Holder, Uma Abedin, Mueller, and many others, behind bars. And the meme said, now that the witch hunt, the so-called Russian investigation, is shown to be a dud, when do the tribunals begin? Bingo! Bingo, I hope you're paying attention. Now, do you think it's a coincidence that, I think it was September, was a month of national preparation? You know, I had people tell me, well, we do that every year. It's the month that we give the... You're not listening, are you, people? You want to make any excuse to put your head back down in the sand or up your rectum, whichever the case may be, and not be involved, not see what's going on, just so you can stay safely in the cage. Because you don't dare want to go out and take a chance of losing your pension, losing anything. It's pretty sick. But he put that out there. He declared a month of preparation as we're going into this period that we were told some changes are coming. He made those revisions to the military tribunals talked about in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Those revisions take effect January 1st. We already heard that, I believe it's 40 individuals in Arkansas. I can't remember the exact number, but we're talking Congress people, state Congress people, judges, and people associated with the crime family known as the Clinton Crime Syndicate in Arkansas have already been arrested. And more to come. Remember, it was a couple months ago, I think, that a large jet plane had flown into Arkansas twice to fill up the cargo area with documents being confiscated by elements of our, I'm going to think it's our military, okay, in working with some of the Trump administration. Jimmy says he has breaking news on the Clintons. I guess either he will text it or he'll join us here in a little bit and tell us on air. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot more going to happen here very, very soon. We know that there is a changeover in the financial area coming. The central banking system is in tatters and about ready to collapse. For one reason, because the world is learning that the central banks have raped us financially in collusion along with elements of the government who were bought and paid for. And we know who owns all of the large central banks. They're all Edomite Jews. And so the Jews within our government committed treason because their first loyalty is to their tribe, not to our nation. That's why they've always been thrown out of countries for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Not because they're Jews. That's ludicrous. That's what they want you to think. It's because they're criminals. They've always been criminals. That's why Christ condemned them 2,000 years ago. When are you going to pay attention to what the book tells you, folks? Stop listening to that prostitute behind the pulpit. Stop listening to these morons on television. They have sworn loyalties to Satan's kids. They're not going to tell you the truth. Why don't you listen to what Christ himself told you? They are of their father, the devil. When they speak a lie, they speak their own language. They are here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you read the book, The Synagogue of Satan, by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, you will find out that they have a very long track record of criminality against mankind. Not all one person, but all mankind. Who do you think's behind all the trafficking of children? The trafficking of white sex slaves? The trafficking of harvested organs? Who do you think's behind all that? Follow the money. Just like now, people are following the money back to George Soros, another crypto Jew who's been funding all kinds of things, including the invading army trying to breach our southern border. It turns out the new attorney general that's in there temporarily, filling the spot for Sessions, Matthew Whitaker, has been known to state that it is the state government's right to overturn federal law if they have the courage and intestinal fortitude to do that. What have we been saying for 19 years on this show? States' rights. Why do you think the name of our country is the United States of America? It doesn't say United Districts, doesn't say United Regions, doesn't say United Elements of the Federal Government. The United States formed the federal government. The states, sovereign states, united, preceded the federal government. What does that tell you? The states will survive as sovereign when the federal government burns up and drifts away into the ash heap of history where it belongs. It has failed us. Completely failed us. And one reason we know they failed us is not only the amendments, which were shredding the basic rights that the Founding Fathers said that the Constitution was to uphold, but they took the Senate away from the states. The Senate is not to be our house, meaning the people's house. The Senate is the state government's house to make sure states' rights are upheld. How stupid that we allowed them to get away with this stuff. The House of Representatives, geez, Dan, do you think that's why they call it House of Representatives? It represents the people? Yeah. And what does Senate have? Senate, the basis of that goes back to statehood. Oh. Does it make sense that we would be represented in the House and then we are also represented by two senators from a state? You think they care what we think once they get up there? No, they don't care. But if it's up to the states to watch their P's and Q's, the states have enough time, they have enough muscle, they have enough lawyers in their staff that if the senators misbehave, they can get them out of there. You and I don't stand a chance. Everything the Founding Fathers did, they've usurped and turned upside down. And look at the mess we're in. Some of the hideous satanic stuff I see coming out right now is unbelievable. that this is the same country that Alec de Tocqueville, the French philosopher, visited in the 1800s because he was curious as to why America was succeeding so fast, becoming so powerful so quickly. And after touring America and invited to so many of the local little churches, he said, "I think I figured it out. America is great because America is good." And then he said, as many intelligent people often have a little add-on there, "America will cease to be great when America ceases to be good." So Alec de Tocqueville, our fine French cousin, nailed it almost prophetically that when we cease to be good, we will cease to be great. And guess what? America is no longer great. And that's why MAGA, Make America Great Again, makes perfect sense, because she's not great now. She's a whore. She has sold her soul out for credit from the Jewish banking cartel for one more day of pleasure. Yeah, we're sinking, but I don't want to fix anything because I one more day of MTV, one more day of polluted ignoramuses on TV or in social media or at the movies. One more day of degeneracy before I have to face the fact that the country's going down in flames. We sold our soul out. We don't have character anymore. We don't have integrity. We don't have honesty. We are no longer Rhadamanthine in our behavior, which means strictly and uncompromisingly just. You know, we had a reputation at one time that you could get to America, or if you could get Americans to your country, they would bring their law and order, also known as justice, with them. That's no longer true. Instead, we bring our carpetbaggers. We bring our carpetbaggers into their country. Yeah, a lot of them have Jewish faces and Jewish names, or they're hidden behind an Anglo face, just like Ted Kennedy, when he was alive, was the Anglo face to the Jewish teardown of our government. So they'll have some goy get up there and put the face on it while they pull the strings behind the scenes. They work in the dark, you know. Jimmy says here, "The hell we do not, Dan. I stand as a man and ready." Jimmy, I'm not talking about you, buddy. We're talking about a whole lot of people that have not made a commitment, are not doing anything to make this a better world. And none of us needs to go out there and try to fix this thing all by ourselves, because you just become a martyr. And I don't think, at this time anyway, Father wants any more martyrs. We got lots of martyrs. There's whole piles of multiple millions of martyrs already. Probably enough blood to go to a horse's bridle in a valley somewhere. You think? Start adding up the millions of innocent men, women, and children butchered in the major wars just in the last century, let alone going back thousands of years, just in the last 150 years, the bodies of those who have died unnecessarily at the hands of criminal government, satanic government. You don't think we've had enough innocent blood already? I think we have. I think we've had far more innocent blood than we need. It's time to make the wicked pay. If you guys want to hear Coach Dabenmeyer, and that's Dabenmire, Dabenmeyer, look for the title of today's show, "Are We Going to Show Up or Shut Up?" You can probably find a link at his website, which is CoachDaveLive.com, and that's all together. CoachDaveLive.com. Also, probably about an hour and a half ago, X22 report with Dave put out one. Trump just signaled all patriots it has begun justice under the law. And I think it's referring to what's going on in Arkansas and the preparations that have been made for it to happen in other states. But let's face it, the headquarters for the criminality under the Clinton regime was right out of Arkansas. We're going to read Ezekiel 25:14 again, because I know people are listening to the programs, because I'm hearing a lot of things that you and I talk about here, folks, is starting to show up in a lot of the other channels. So somehow the word is getting out there, and praise Yahweh for that. But they still have a few connections to make, and one of them has to do with these two verses here. The first one's in Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 14, "And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people, Jacob, Israel." That's a people, not a country. That little bastard nation in Palestine is not the Israel of the Bible. That's one of the big problems with the church world today. They can't even figure out who real Israel is versus that land of imposters and misfits in the Middle East. So he says, "I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people, Jacob, Israel." Doesn't say the world. Doesn't say anybody just feels like coming along, Johnny come lately. Doesn't say somebody raises a hand and say, "Hey, I'll join you guys." He's talking about his own sons and daughters, Jacob, Israel. "And they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury." Does that sound like a pacifist, love everybody to death, hippie type Jesus God to you? He has anger and he has fury. "And they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh, El Shaddai," which is God Almighty. El Shaddai. How about that? Not much pacifism in there, is there? And everybody says, "Well, Dan, well, we just going to wait for the rapture. Yeah, things look pretty bad, but, you know, we got this here rapture train going to come along, and I got my ticket right here. Pastor, he punched it for me at the church the day I went down there and I got saved. He punched my ticket on the rapture train. So me and the missus and the kids, you know, we're just going to sit here on the porch and wait for that there rapture train." As I say so many times, let me know how that works out for you there, partner. Because there ain't no rapture train, and your preacher is a lying piece of meat. Says that we are going to be here, and he's going to use his sons and daughters to bring down this satanic regime. This is followed up by Obadiah chapter 1, which is the only chapter. Verse 18, where it says, "The house of Jacob." We just read in Ezekiel 25, Jacob is, same people. Imagine that. "The house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph," that's us, "Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. They will burn among them," they meaning Jacob and Joseph, "they will burn among them," Esau, "and devour them." Now, who's been devouring our sustenance for decades upon decades upon the Zionist Jewish cabal. They've been eating out of our sustenance and eating away at our nation and our standards and our institutions for a long time, just like the termites that they are. Finishing up Obadiah, verse 18, "There will not be any remaining to the house," which means the family of Esau. "Indeed, Yahweh has spoken. So here again, people say, well, Dan, you sound like you're anti-Jewish. Are you one of them there anti-Semite people, Dan? No, I just can read English, and I have read the Bible in many other languages as well, and found that it's pretty damn true. I don't know. Every time I follow what the book says, it seems to bring a blessing. Maybe I'm kind of crazy here, but seems like a pretty good formula for success. Read it, understand it, and put it into practice. How hard is that? It's not hard at all, except our people have become lazy. Romans 14, verse 8, for if we live to Yahweh, or if we die to Yahweh. If therefore we live or die, we are Yahweh's. The beginning and the end of all things is what? We read that verse not long ago. The beginning and end of all things is to obey our Father, Yahweh, our Creator. It's just really that simple. Man tries to make it really, really complicated, but no, it's really that simple. And it's out of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 is what we're talking about. This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear Yahweh God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Does it say fear the mainstream media? Does it say fear the Jewish cabal that's got control of the money system? Does it say fear Washington, D.C. or the Pentagon? Does it say fear invading aliens pretending to be asylum seekers? I don't know. It doesn't say anything about them. Does it say fear whatever the flat screen image of the beast puts in front of you? No. No, it doesn't say anything about that. It says fear Yahweh. Doesn't say fear of the works of men. It says fear Yahweh. And keep his commandments. Guess what saves you, people? You know, you run into these churches and that prostitute behind the pulpit's got that fancy language that they learned in seminary, and he's sitting there dancing around and everything. But is he going to save you? Is he going to teach you the truth about anything? Is he going to tell you to keep his commandments, including the food laws? The racial purity laws? How many people are being told about that today? How many churches can you go to and you can hear that? Answer? None. Another saying of our founding fathers is disobedience to tyrants is obedience to Yahweh God. Disobedience to tyrants. It's called civil disobedience. You know, the Supreme Court has held up many, many times that an unconstitutional law has no force. I wonder how many police officers are trained in the fact that if they try to enforce an unconstitutional law, they are without protection. That comes right out of Supreme Court decisions. I'm not even a trained lawyer, and I know that. How come these so-called politicians that are supposed to be trained lawyers aren't telling anybody about that? Why do farm boys and guys that have to have a regular job to feed their families, how come we're able to find out this stuff and these so-called educated idiots aren't telling us about it? So the Supreme Court has held it, and it makes perfect sense that if a law enforcement individual takes it upon himself to enforce a law, and it's unconstitutional, he has no protection under the law. He is on his own. Which means if he gets hurt while trying to push this law or to violate the constitutional rights of a citizen, he's on his own. If he gets hurt, that's too bad. I wonder if they're telling him that. Something tells me they're probably not. I like what George Washington had to say. When the government takes away a citizen's right to bear arms, it becomes a citizen's duty to take away the government's right or ability to govern. That's what's interesting on the new $100 bills, in case you have checked it out. Has anybody done that? Or don't you use cash anymore? Have you already flipped over to the cashless society, right? Well, if you did check it, you would find out that the whole right half of the new $100 bill is completely changed. Most of it is in gold. Gold 100, gold lettering, gold inkwell, gold pen or quill. And the words of the Constitution that say that if the Constitution or the government fails to see to our safety and needs, basically has given up its right to govern, and it is our right as the people to alter, reform, or abolish it. We created it. You know, the government wants us to think that they were first and we came along later to support them. Well, that's not true. We created the government for our benefit. And we gave it obligations and duties. Government has no rights. It has obligations and duties. And one of the obligations is to make sure they follow the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, saying that our rights, which are antecedent to their existence, our rights are not to be violated by our own public servants, because that's what they are, public servants. This also includes law enforcement. Now, law enforcement, of course, they're training a lot of them and brainwashing them to think that they are power unto themselves. And I've even heard family members who are in law enforcement say, "I've got a badge, you have to do what I say." Really? I'll say it again. Let me know how that works out for you. Right now, you guys are getting away with a lot of stuff, but when the people rise up, which we're on the verge of that happening, when they rise up, guess who are the first people they're going to hunt down? And if you want to see an example of what it's like when the people have had enough of this, I've got a badge, you just have to do what I say, even when I'm wrong or if I'm unconstitutional, all you got to do is just go south of the border and watch what happened there a few years back in Mexico, when the citizens caught the judge on the steps of the courthouse and they macheted him to death. When they found police cars burning with the policemen inside along country roads. That's what happens when you push the people beyond the breaking point. They told you that, right, in your training? All you guys out there that are police officers, they told you about that, right? They told you that, you know, you can get away with what we're telling you to a point, but the people will always rise up at some point. And we, the people, have far more power than they have. That's why they spend so much time with brainwashing us that we have no power. That's not true. We do have the power. It's just a matter of history. People say, "Well, Dan, are you trying to incite violence?" Well, no, I don't have to incite anything. It's going to happen on its own. I studied history. Maybe you haven't, but I have. It's a historical fact. People will take abuse only so far, and then there is a rebellion. Now, do they have new directed energy weapons and all kinds of high-tech stuff out there they can use? Sure they do, but how much of it do they have? Do you think they have enough of this seeing through the walls of buildings and shooting lasers from the sky to take millions of people out? No, not even close. Not even close. And a lot of you police officers, you're going to be on your own. If you think they're going to shift trillions of dollars from their vaults and bank accounts to protect you, you're crazy. They'll throw you under the bus in a heartbeat while they run off to their little sanctuaries down in Costa Rica and Panama and South America and over in places in Europe and Asia. They've been building their little haciendas and sanctuaries for a long time. They're going to run there while they leave you holding the bag. It's not going to go well for you. Really, it really isn't. But here again, we live in a world that's full of lies and deception, just as Father told us it would be at the end of the age. And so many people are not told the truth about what's going on. But like I said, it looks like Arkansas has started to heat up. There's been a lot of alluding to the tribunals around the corner. Big names are going to be rounded up here soon, and we're already seeing people at the state government level, state judges, and other people associated with the Clinton crime family have started to be rounded up. So, as I told you before, nobody has a crystal ball on this thing, but what we could tell you is that the waiting to die the death of a thousand cuts time is over. One way or the other, we're going to find out who's in charge and who's doing what for what reason very, very soon. That's the good news. No matter which way this thing goes, the good news is we're not just sitting here on our thumbs allowing the enemy to completely decimate society and kill and wound and hurt so many innocent people. They've identified themselves. Now it's just a question of which side of the fence you're on, people. Can't sit on the fence this time. So which side is it? Are you on the side of righteousness, along with Yahshua and Yahweh our Father and all of our kinfolk? Or are you on the other side, worshiping Babylon and the things of Babylon, materialism and such things? Which one are you at? And like I said, Q has made a lot of hints, and some of them we've already seen come true. There's been a lot of inferences to a declassification starting on the 11th, and now here we are 17 days later. And already some things are starting to happen. And if you want to call them the deep state, certain parts of the deep state seem to be panicking. And so we're going to see a lot. There's going to be a lot. This event in Arkansas is something we need to keep an eye on. And we also need to see if it's going to be happening in the other states, because it's supposed to steamroll and turn into a D5 avalanche. And if you've studied anything about that, D5 is like tornadoes. What is it? F5 is the most destructive tornado. Well, D5 is the most destructive avalanche. And supposedly when the information is released and the people are rounded up and we finally hear all the truth, because you haven't heard it yet, folks. When you hear all the truth about what these people have been up to, it's going to sicken you. It's going to sicken you tremendously. Because you've only been given a piece, a small piece, of what the criminality of these people. The number of innocent people that have actually been murdered, killed, raped, tortured, snuffed out, suicided, you name it, and the hideous and sick things they've done to our children. It's bad enough doing them to an adult, but doing them to our children, it's unbelievable. Jimmy, you said here, discuss something deeper. I'm not sure which part of what I've been talking about, which category or which topic you want discussed further or deeper. A lot of information about the Arkansas issue. Well, I don't have a lot of details other than the fact this is breaking. This is happening. It just started happening yesterday. And what they're saying is there have been indictments against some, and they named some of the judges and congresspeople at the state and or federal level that have already been arrested. So, and according to Liz Cochran, who is one of the premier people following the trafficking of our children issue, she has stated that mass arrests have already started. It's just not surfacing yet. The mainstream media, of course, is not going to tell you a word about it. And sometimes these things take a while to bubble up through the alternative media, because a lot of the truthers don't report things right away until they have a chance to verify them. Unlike the mainstream, which is basically propaganda, and they can have news for you within 10 minutes of a murder. They've already figured out who it was, where they live, what car they were driving, etc. Well, that's how you know it's a inside job. So we don't have, I don't have all the details. Over the next day or two, more details about Arkansas, I'm sure, are going to come out, as well as the information about the Fed. The economic situation, I believe it to be true. You can see it. The fact that the new dollar bills and the $100 bill in particular are changed the way they are is telling you a change is coming. You're in transition. And besides that, it just has to be. A fiat money system, a fake and phony money system, can only last so long. The people that implement it know that. Sooner or later, the people, even as brain dead as they are, figure out it's a fake and phony money system. And here again, because they took over control of education, remember, centralization is an evil thing. So when you allow the government control of your education of your children and centralize it, you gave control to the enemy to go in there and change your people. And so the stressing of constitution and constitutional law left the schools. Well, they'll talk about the founding fathers getting together, and it was a hot day, and there was a lot of arguing, and this guy contributed. But they don't go into the meat and potatoes of it. They don't go into the nuts and bolts of the Constitution and how it protects you. Because if they did, then you wouldn't have police officers running roughshod over it, simply because their commanders or the people that hired them say, if you want your pension and your paycheck, you're going to do what we tell you. You see what I'm saying? So when you allow the government to go in there and usurp your authority, because your health care is your business, folks. You know, they got a sidetrack with Obamacare and the alternative as if you had to pick one of the two. Well, the third alternative they didn't discuss, which is government, stay the hell out of my health care. You don't have any jurisdiction in my health care. None. You have no right to make a law, period, that has to do with my health care. None. Whether I insure my car or not, you have no authority. When did that start? 1984. I remember when it started. Up till then, the law was very Christian and practical. It just said if you're going to operate anything on the highway, you personally are financially responsible if you are the cause of an accident. That's it. That's common sense. But in 1984, the insurance companies got a hold of your politicians and they changed all that. Then you let the government dictate to you. The government has no business in liability. Not that kind. Not personal liability to you and me. None. They have no jurisdiction whatsoever. But again, dumbed down people don't know that. They started worshiping the false god called government. Anything coming out of the halls of government, oh my God, bow down everybody. Yeah, yeah, oh my God, Tallahassee has spoken. The king in his castle in Tallahassee has told us what is going to be in our kingdom. And wait a minute, maybe it went to the grand poopah in Washington, D.C. has put out his great edicts like the king of Persia. No, we don't live under that. We don't live under it. So they had no jurisdiction to start with, but we didn't have any men with intestinal fortitude and knowledge enough to stand up and tell them that. We'd all marched off into the materialistic world, chasing after the newest movie, chasing after the newest electronic device, chasing after women, chasing after drugs, chasing after entertainment, sports, gambling. You name it. We were too busy. As I heard some people say, we're too busy enjoying life, Dan. You're just too serious. You need to lighten up. I said, really? So I'm the problem? Yeah, you're the problem. You just take all this stuff too damn serious. Lighten up and have another drink. Have another doobie. Really, let's see, my country's going up in flames, the Constitution effectively shredded, my children are no longer under my care, the government has proclaimed jurisdiction there, they can tell me what to drive, how to drive, what conditions I'd have to be. They even forced me to get pieces of paper, and now it's plastic, that says that they give me permission because I don't have a right to travel. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Really? Me going from point A to point B is a privilege? In what universe is that true? God put me upon the land. I'm a free man upon the land. It's not a privilege. Only if you allow your false god to convince you of it. Isn't that neat how they do that? They convince us of all this stuff, and it's just not true. Thomas Jefferson told us that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Whoa. Resistance becomes duty. Do you ever hear anybody talk about duty anymore? The duty of man? General MacArthur talked about it. A lot of our generals have talked about it. Duty. You should look it up sometime. What is it that is our duty? Now, Thomas Jefferson told us that, and it's followed up by Thomas Paine when he said, the strength and power of despotism. And if you don't know what despotism is, take a look around in America today. You're living in it. The strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance. That, in a nutshell, is what's wrong with your churches today. They don't want to resist. They want to stay safely in the cage, as the occupants in the prison say. Safely in the cage. Jimmy's put up here the definition. A duty is a commitment or expectation to perform some action in general, or if certain circumstances arise. A duty may arise from a system of ethics or morality, especially in an honor culture. Many duties are based or created by law, sometimes including a codified punishment or liability for non-performance. Performing one's duty may require some sacrifice or self-interest. I think that's a modern day definition. If you go back in antiquity, duty basically is an honor thing, right? Do your duty, due diligence, your duty to who? Duty to your race and duty to your creator. But you know, the modernists have decided to teach you and brainwash you that race doesn't matter. That's why you have a lot of your problems today. Charles Weissman, in his book, The Anthology of Racial Issues, is very, very explicit about the scientific studies that tell you about the mental conditioning of mixed race people. Now, today's world tells you that, you know, as long as it's a boy and a girl, you can get together and make whatever you want. Yeah, that's true, but you're also going to have to deal with the plagues. The Bible calls it plagues when you violate that very, very important law. The plague upon you will be the increase in violence, the increase in childhood ailments and diseases, the psychosis of the people involved, and what it does to your society with these increased burdens, because they're going to need to be on drugs or they're going to need to be under psychiatric care. Of course, the Jews make money as long as that's going on, don't they? But it's still a plague on your society. That's why your society's falling apart, because you've hybridized most of your population. And again, if you read the book, it's not a very long book, Anthology of Racial Issues by Charles Weissman. If you read the book, you cannot argue with the findings of these different scientific studies. You can't argue with it because you can see it out here in society. These people are screwed up. Take a look at the 20 most wanted from any state of the union you want, but to particularly where there's a high non-white population. But you can even go to the communities that aren't, that are still predominantly white. Go look at the top 20 most wanted violent criminals and see if you can pick out how many of them are other races or mixed race. The vast majority will be mixed race. When I first read his book, that's what I did. I went onto websites and started looking at the states near where I lived at their most wanted violent criminals, and the findings of that book and the scientific studies was right on the money. And it's the plague. The plague. Read the story of Phineas in the Bible and why he was blessed for perpetuity, he and his descendants, for upholding Yahweh's law against race mixing. Go read it in your Bibles. For you people out there to claim you believe it, why don't you read it? Don't take my word for it. I've read it. I know what it says, but you need to read it. Phineas was blessed because he put a javelin down through the bodies of the race mixers, one being a prince amongst the Israelites, the other being a non-Israelite whore that he had taken into his tent. And he speared him. He skewered him with a single thrust of his spear right down through the two of them. It's in your Bibles. You didn't read it? You don't understand what it means? Now let's stop here and think about this for a minute. Two people are having sex, and a guy walks in and puts a spear down through the two of them, and he's blessed by the God that you say you worship forever because he stopped the plague. Now, how did he stop the plague? Because when he killed those two race mixers, the rest of the Israelites went through their villages and their hamlets and put to the sword all the other race mixers amongst their people. Thousands of them. Now, that's in your Bibles. If you don't want to believe it, do me a favor and burn your Bibles. Why even pretend to be a believer? If you think that that's, oh, Dan, that sounds so cruel. Oh, that's heartless. That's why, Dan, I'm a New Testament Christian. That God, and I've heard this from people that are pretty damn intelligent, too. Well, at least they say they are. They say they have a high IQ. Well, that's why I'm a New Testament Christian, because that there Old Testament God, he's just too violent for me. Well, let's see. The Old and New Testament are just a continuous story of the same people, their past and future. There is no difference. What do you mean, the God of the Old Testament? You don't think the God of the Old Testament has anything to do with the New Testament? Are you people really that stupid? Have people really got to be that stupid in this world that you can't even figure that out? So if he hated and detested race mixing then, you're actually going to listen to that prostitute behind the pulpit when he tells you that it's okay? You know, that same prostitute that says a man can marry a man. Or I have family members of mine that just attended out in the Midwest the wedding of a woman who's the daughter of a friend of theirs to another woman. Aww. And as Coach Dabemeyer and the Orlando fireman, Mark Taylor, would say, there's the answer to your problem. Why were two church-going members of my family attending the wedding of two queer females? Why? Because they didn't want to offend their friends. In other words, the salt has lost its savor, and it is good for nothing. You can go to church from now till you're 98 years old, and if you're not going to stand against these kinds of things, then you're the salt that's lost its savor, folks. I'm sorry. Why do you fear offending your friend, but you don't fear offending the Creator? Do you see the hypocrisy? I mean, it's ludicrous, isn't it? The hypocrisy is right there smacking you in the face. Well, I don't want to be called a bad name because they'll say I'm not sensitive to the queer situation. They're queers, people. Queer means out of the ordinary, not normal. Aberrations of nature. That's what queer means. They are queers, okay? That's not a natural thing. You're not born that way. I don't give a damn what these idiots are telling you. Empirical evidence. The evidence of your senses in the world around you should tell you that much, even if you have not read it in the book. But it is in the book. It's time to make a decision on whose side you're going to be on. That's where we're at. And between now and the end of this year, you had better pick a side, folks. We're that close to the end of the age. You had better pick your side. Not only for this life, but for the one hereafter. You better pick a side because it's all riding on your decision, whether you know it or not. Which side you pick is going to be extremely important. Not 20 years, not 30 years from now, 30 days from now, 45 days from now. Let's see what Jimmy's got to say. Welcome to the program, Jimmy.
Hey, Brother Dan. We can catch up later, and it's a damn cold night here in Florida, but I just wanted to interject while I had the thought, because you know I keep show notes, but you know what I've observed, Dan, and listeners, really? I don't watch a lot of TV, but, you know, in my Bank versus You thing, there have been changes in other broadcasters, and, you know, we start airing Fox News, blah, blah, blah. So here's why I punched in and asked to get just 30 seconds. I have noticed Target, which is no surprise, Omaha Steaks, Progressive Insurance, they all Comcast, Spectrum, whatever their sister companies are out there.
Charter?
Dan. Charter. Charter is the master company.
Oh,
and then
okay.
There's, like, here it's called Spectrum. And it was Bright House. And, you know, Time Warner's still in bed with that whole mix. But damn, my point, and why I just wanted to come in on your one topic, and I'll yield if you want to give me some time later in the show, that's good. But, Dan, here's my point. They're showing mixed marriages. There's the black woman, the white husband with the beard that looks like a fucking Jew, and their little monkey babies. But, Dan, here's the most egregious, and it's only happening in the last couple, 3 weeks, right in our face. They show two men. Spectrum does, Comcast. So does Omaha Steaks. They're showing gay men frolicking around the house like a happy couple to the point of being kissing on the sofa. Now, Spectrum, just part of the camera shot away before they lock lips, which I'd already puked all over my system here. But Omaha Steaks, not only did they do the hug, Dan, but these two guys are kissing on the lips. Now, when I meet you, we shake hands and we might give the brotherly couple of pats on the back. Hey, man, good to see you. You know what? Because there's nothing wrong with loving your brother. But don't you ever dare try to kiss me on the sofa. You know? But, Dan, back to be serious, and I'll yield the mic. It's right in our faces now. There's no more. I mean, my God, I dream of Jeannie wasn't allowed to show her belly button back in the, what, 60s, 70s? Now
right.
We got two faggots kissing on the couch. And, you know, I made a comment in my local newspaper about a year ago, and I had the FBI show up at my house telling me to tone it down.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, do not sell, whatever you do in your bedroom, I don't give a fucking rat's ass if you are a faggot. Just don't tell me about it, and certainly don't put it in my face and expect me to say, yeah, that's okay. And if I don't, I'm homophobic. And see, Dan, and real quick, this is what we have to put out. This is the fire that's going to kill our culture, and I'll save it for later in the show or next show or whenever.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
we
it's all eating
have
away
let this go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is. So isn't it our duty, as I put in the chat, and that was just a quick, you know, trying to educate your listeners or at least share information. but it's great to talk about it. We are all educated men and women here on your shows and my shows. The thing that's driving me batshit crazy is I can't get up out of this chair and do anything to stop it. I can educate, I can speak and meet folks like yourself, Dan, which is an honor. And we are doing something, but it's encroaching. I mean, let's go back to hepatitis A and all the restaurants around and this bullshit E. coli and do not eat romaine lettuce. Do not. What? Anyway, you know, you get my point.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I wanted to punch in early was the commercials, especially during the holiday season, have got a lot of guys hugging and kissing on each other on public airwaves.
Yep.
And I find it disgusting. And I you know, I look forward to those that may be listening to us to be a little more observant and report back and see what they see. Anyway, Dan, thanks for letting me pop in.
Yeah, all right, Jimmy. God bless, buddy. All right, Jimmy there with Bank versus UTV. Also, a shout out to the audience over there that's listening as it's simulcasted. Yeah, it is. Well, it's another sign of the degradation of our society as we've let those who are not of our kind. Okay, we've talked about that. The very definition of a nation is a people who share in common a history, culture, language, race, religion. Those are all in common, not this diverse polyglot that the Satanists have tried to tell you is what we're all about. No, that does not make you strong. It makes you weak, and they know that. Well, the problem is that white people believe it because they've been mesmerized and they've been bought off with the delicacies. The book of Revelation tells you that the rulers and princes and even the people are drunk on the delicacies of Babylon. And if you look up the Greek words, it's talking about the very things that we're saying. It's the new iPhones, it's the tablets, it's the computer screens, it's the 90-inch flat screen you can put in your home and entertain yourself to death, like the screen in front of you is not big enough. So now you need 80 and 90-inchers to get even more of the LED emissions into your brain and more of the programming in there. You got to have more reasons to sit your ass down and vegetate in front of the thing. And on it goes. They know that. It weakens you. Now, Bill Holter, the economist, was on with Greg Hunter earlier today and gave a very, very good interview, especially about what he sees coming down the pike financially. And again, folks, exactly what's going to happen and how it will play out, we can't tell you that. But is there something going to happen in the very near future? That we know for sure. It is going to happen. Bill Holter reinforced what the military guys have told me for years, that through this period of transition, you need to be able to hunker down right where you're at. All right? I've said a minimum of 3 months. Today, Bill Holter recommended 6 months. The military guys that used to talk to me about this stuff, 3 months is a very good chance of survival. 6 months, they could almost guarantee you will survive. Most of the people that hurt are going to be out here fighting against the mobs for the little bit of food that's left, or clothing, or gas for a car or a generator. They're going to be out there battling each other for that kind of stuff. Worst case scenario is what we're talking about here, right? As the Boy Scouts used to teach them before they got taken over by the limp-wristed liberals, Boy Scouts were taught that you prepare for the worst. You take whatever scenarios that are possible, pick the worst one, that's the one you prepare for. Because if you're ready for that one, all the rest of them are a piece of cake, aren't they? So what's the worst case scenario? Well, that this transition that we're going to go through is going to be rough. There's going to be blowback from the liberals and the pinko communists. There could be a disruption in services such as water, electricity, fuel, gasoline. Maybe not everywhere, but there is a potential. That's what we're talking about here, the potential. You have to prepare for the worst case scenario, which is what the military guys call the hunker down. You have to stay in your domicile, in your safety zone for 3 to 6 months while this plays out. You don't need to go out there and be part of the rabble, the jungle that's going to become outside the walls of your home and maybe your community. Maybe you're blessed to live in a community of preppers and like-minded people. That's even better yet, because now you can help each other out and watch the garden and stuff so that people don't steal from you. Because if those out there figure out that you've got stuff, they're going to come after it. That's why you have to have weapons and plenty of ammunition to defend your home. You can count on it. Now, it's ugly. It's an ugly scenario, admittedly. But we're talking worst case. We pray to Yahweh every day that this can go about peacefully. And if enough people wake up and participate, it can be a peaceful transition. As Q, and again, you don't have to believe Q, it doesn't make any difference to me, but some of the things Q does talk about in the postings and all are absolutely truthful, and they're many times common sense. And they've made reference to the fact that the power is in our hands on how this all plays out. It's in our hands, ladies and gentlemen. Are you going to, just as Coach Davenmeyer says, are you just going to sit there and shut up and not get involved, or are you going to stand up and take a stand for righteousness? It's in your hands what you do. Now, I'm not saying go out the door tonight and do something on your own, but you'd better be ready when the call comes for those to take a stand. Whereas in my typing class in high school, the phrase that we had to type when we were tested, it is time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. Our country is our family, our race. This nation was founded by white Israelite European men. That's a fact. You can't change that. Whether you like it or not, whether it's politically correct or not, whether it busts your comfort zone, whether it offends you, doesn't change fact. Facts are facts. This country was founded by white European men for white European people. That is a fact. And as James David Manning, the black preacher, the PhD preacher out of Harlem, has said, America will not rebound. America will never be great again if the people that founded it, meaning the white people, don't take back control. When you look at Washington and you see the faces and the people that are causing all the trouble, how many white European men of faith do you see amongst that group? I'll give you the answer. Zero. Zero. It's the violation of Deuteronomy and Leviticus that got us in this trouble. Leviticus and Deuteronomy make it very clear. You are never to give a racial alien power in your land. Never. Our founding fathers did not allow for non-whites to enter this country and obtain citizenship. None. None. And we became the greatest power on earth. We have been going downhill ever since we bought into the Jewish fable lie that it was unfair that, quote, old white guys get to make all the rules. Well, it was the old white guys looking out for their families that made America great. but for some reason we bought into their lies and allowed our system to be usurped, and now look at the mess we're in. Again, you can violate the laws, you can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. I watched a very good video put out by Chris Ann Hall. She's the constitutional lawyer that lives in the middle of Florida with her pastor husband. And they were talking about the red flag laws, especially here in Florida, and the fact that they need to be challenged and overturned. They are completely and utterly unconstitutional. It is a veiled communist attempt to disarm the people. It's plain and simple. They don't give a damn about people getting hurt. That's never been the real reason for what they want. They want to try to get us disarmed for a communist takeover. And as the police officer to put the YouTube out about it, he said, I'll be damned if I give up my guns and give all power to the government. And that's a brave policeman there. He's a retired policeman, but he said it best. I saw a comment by a black guy in one of the comments or on one of the YouTubes saying that he will stand up and fight with the whites to overthrow the unconstitutionality. He will fight for white civilization over what's going on now. And bravo to the folks out there that have enough common sense, like James David Manning and the young man that made that comment on the one YouTube channel. You see, our enemy's trying to convince us that everybody that's not white is an automatic enemy. That's just not true. I know plenty of non-whites who feel just as strongly as my white brothers and sisters do about what's going on in this country. In fact, to be quite honest, some of the non-whites are even more livid than the white people are. The white people are sort of cucks anymore. I don't know what happened to them. Maybe too much fluoride or whatever. But I do know some non-whites who do know history, who have studied history, who honor and respect the founding of this nation, have no problem with us running the show, and will fight and even die if necessary to return it to its foundations. That's honorable people. I don't care what anybody says. That's an honorable individual. I respect that. And if people out there have a hard time with that, well, that's your problem. I have no problem standing in front of my Creator Father and explaining my feelings about such things. If you feel that way, great. But you know what? I've talked to a lot of you out there. You don't feel that confident about it. I've had some people at times say, Dan, you're an arrogant son of a gun. I said, are you confusing confidence with arrogance? I admit that I'm a confident individual as far as my stand and what I've learned from many years of research and study. Yeah, I'm pretty confident, but I don't consider that arrogance. There is a difference between arrogance. Arrogance is not based on fact. Arrogance is an attitude. Confidence comes from work and study. It has to be earned. Arrogance doesn't have to be earned. I've got plenty of friends that are arrogant people. I don't particularly care to spend much time with them. Confidence, on the other hand, is something that has to be obtained. Reminds me of when I played Little League Baseball. It was scary the first times you went up to the plate to see if you could hit that ball. It was scary the first games because you're afraid of making mistakes. But years later, after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ball games, you're feeling pretty confident. I was a catcher at the time, pretty key position on the baseball field. And at first it was scary, and later on in life I got to feeling pretty confident about it after the coach had told me plenty of times that I did a good job and the pitchers liked it and we won lots of games. So you see what I'm saying? There's a difference. Arrogance is you walk out into the field the first time thinking you're the best thing that happened to baseball. That's arrogance. There is a difference. We are supposed to be confident in our Father and His laws, and that obedience to His laws will bring about the results that we're looking for. We're at the crossroads as a civilization and as a people, and the decision has to be made very, very soon. It's either Yahweh's law or chaos, folks. There's just no other way to look at it. You're either going to follow Yahweh, who created us and this world. You're either going to follow along, or you're going to be run over with what's coming. There was no arguing with the people outside the ark as Noah and his family went inside and Yahweh sealed the door. I'm sure they bitched and moaned and said, really, I'm not that bad of a person. I didn't ever kill anybody. Yeah, I didn't listen to you. I didn't believe in you. I didn't follow your laws. But, hey, I'm not such a bad person. Why can't I come in the ark? And I've often wondered, why did Yahweh close the door on the ark? Because if he had left it up to Noah and his family, they would have left some of them in. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. At the time of the second coming and the end of the age, right? Isn't that what it says? As in the days of Noah, that tells me that whatever form the ark takes to protect his children at this time, Yahweh is controlling who's inside the ark, not you and me. We're too soft. Way too soft. The military tribunals are coming. I've been talking about this since 2010, and I feel completely avenged of all the criticisms, and in the next 2 to 3 months, I'll be further avenged and vindicated for my stand. So you've been told what you do about it, your business. The military intelligence and military operatives are behind what's going on. If anybody thinks that everything that's happening is simply because of Donald Trump, you're crazy. He's a powerful man. He's got a lot of money, but that never stopped him from taking somebody out before. This is a military operation. As General Flynn recently was quoted as saying, it has been an insurgency in the United States by the communists. A true classical insurgency. Military insurgency of our nation by the communists. Just as General Ben Parton told me in person and on the radio many years ago. And he exhorted me to preach and to teach via the radio to wake people up to the dangers of the Communist Third International that was still alive and very much a threat to these United States. And in honor of General Ben Parton and all the other veterans out there that I've spoken with over the years, I've done as much as I can to awaken people. It's sad that not that many seem to be paying attention. But maybe it's starting to take a turn. Maybe we have reached the tipping point. And certainly there are indications that that may very well be happening. So we shall see. But military intelligence is behind a lot of the things that are going on. This is not civilian. This is not civilian. The civilian courts would never bring justice at all. They are way, way beyond broke and totally, totally political and corrupted. Useless. Useless. We've said for a very long time, again since 2010, the country is broke, it is dying, and the only thing that can save it is righteous military. It has to be a military operation. And I believe when everything comes to fruition and comes out in the open, you're going to find out that's exactly what's been going on. And it's my hope and prayer to our Heavenly Father that the military men and those in the administration working with them maintain their Radamanthine stance and continue to work to pull us out of the fire, because we're going down in flames quickly, very, very quickly. That's about all I've got for tonight. Jimmy, hold off what you've got for the next time if you could, buddy, because I need to jump off here pretty quick. And we will have a Sunday morning broadcast. Dr. Arden Gifford is going to join us from Houston, Texas. He's part of MD Anderson Cancer Center there. He has some information that I only know the tip of the iceberg about it, but he is very concerned that the people learn what it is he has to tell us. It's very, very dangerous to mankind, not just here in the United States, but the entire world. So out of respect for Dr. Gifford, I've said that he is going to be my guest this Sunday, and we're going to talk about these issues. I know some of it has to do with 5G. It will involve that. It also has to do with some of the stuff they're spraying on us. But he's approaching this from a researcher's point of view and as a doctor and with the people that he knows around the world that share his concerns and knowledge level. So I do encourage folks, if you know family and friends, whatever, might be interested in this, tune in with us this Sunday as we hear what Dr. Gifford has to present to us in that regard. I think he mentioned a special guest might join us, but I can't say for sure about that. So it should be quite an eye-opener. All right, let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for the things that are happening on the righteous side of things. We see that people are finally waking up to the terrible peril that mankind is under at this time. There's a terrible delusion. There's also a lot of strife, stress, illness, sickness, disease, misinformation, abuse, murder, rape, etc. Just way, way too much. And the innocent blood that's already been shed is far in excess of what has ever been needed. It's time for vindication. It's time for justification. It's time for vengeance upon the wicked. I pray for the Ezekiel 37 army to arise. I pray for Yahweh's Adamic sons to finally realize who they are and to face their destiny. The whole world is in travail waiting for them, not anybody else. Scripture says it's the sons of Yahweh, the Adamic man. They need to come to their senses. They need to come together as a group and understand that the whole world is waiting for the righteous men to take a stand and fix this. There are no other saviors. There are plenty of false Christs, false messiahs. But our Father, you are in control. We pray for your coming to be soon. We pray for the kingdom upon this earth. We also ask for forgiveness for our shortcomings and that you would walk with us and protect us and also guide us by thy Spirit and put a hedge around us to protect us from the arrows of our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.